All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Comics.
That's a great impression. It's the best one you do yet.
Really?
Yeah. Just, I'm being honest.
No, you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm being honest. That's your
I
best impression
yet. I do some decent
yet.
Impressions,
that
sir.
That was a solid impression.
I'm being honest. That was a good impression.
Just Mike back. On the mic.
Back from Vegas. Back from the desert.
See? See, you guys didn't believe he was coming back.
He was ready to roll.
You thought he was just a...
Best Buy Billy, I win the bet. I told you he'd be here today. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, did you bet Billy that he wouldn't be here?
Yep.
Did you have like a round table with the past producers?
He prefers Senator Billy
to his
acquaintances.
I'm sorry. Senator Billy? I didn't know senators still sold DVDs.
I'm just saying. You don't want to, you know, they have, you know, government powers and things.
Oh, is that what he has?
Just
government
saying.
Powers?
He's connected. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
So this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, of course. Episode 161, we're calling it The House That Mickey Bought.
Right.
And, of course, this refers to the lead news story this week. Which
might as well get right into it.
Let's get right into it. Marvel Entertainment acquired by Disney.
For $4
billion. Billion.
In cash and stock options.
$4 billion.
Billion dollars.
That is a lot of bread.
It is a lot of bread.
You know, if I knew it was for sale...
Yeah,
I might have made an offer. Yeah, we could have pooled it. Right,
bought some stock.
Just saying, could have bought the company, and you know what? The first thing that would have happened
he
would
have been right out the door. He would have been right out the door.
Do we have any? Do we have any Quesada comments on this? This immense move for Marvel?
There's a bevy of them.
No, we should. Let's be clear about this. Marvel Entertainment encompasses Marvel Comics, Marvel Films. And I'm sure Marvel licensing.
Right.
Which would be over 5,000 characters.
Yes.
I believe.
That is many.
Yes. That is many. And so this is, although I'm sure Joe Crapsada has many comments to make, I'm sure he made many, and I know you two are keeping them from me, and don't know.
Not for long.
I know. But... That said, we should say he is only one third. Maybe it's the most visible third.
Right.
You know, because they're in our face every week, so
right.
to speak. But, you know, he's a player, but he's not the game.
Right. We'll get to the third and the other parts and where we think each part will stand. But let's start with a couple of his quotes that he posted to his Twitter page. Starting on August 31st at 7:18 a.m., he said, "Good morning, Marvel, you. Welcome to this moment in history. Everyone relax. This is incredible news, and all is well in the Marvel Universe."
Yeah, so Joe Quesada told me to relax.
That was moments after the news story broke.
Uh-huh.
Follows it up with, "I haven't seen this much excitement in the Marvel halls since, well, ever." Kind of tells you something about what's wrong with Marvel, no?
Marvel, if this is...
Yeah, the most exciting thing in the world is being... acquired by a company who does family programming, where clearly you are producing products that are not family oriented.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second, though.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a second.
He said more.
"Everybody take a deep breath. All your favorite comics remain unchanged, and Tom Brevoort remains grouchy."
Get it? Because I get it.
There are a couple more, but I'm going to highlight the handful of really good ones. Like, "It feels like Christmas morning."
Oh, really? I hope Joe unwraps a present and finds a pink slip in it.
"Wow, I just caught myself whistling while I worked."
Oh, that was the one that
get it? Get it? Because it, no, no, wait. I don't, maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't get it, just Mike.
He's a dwarf.
Whistling while you work is, that's the song from the Disney classic Snow White. See?
And Disney bought Marvel.
Right.
And
see?
He works at Marvel.
See, it works on so many levels.
And he's playing dopey.
If you ride a short bus to work, that works on so many levels.
I just can't.
Holy
I saw
crap.
That, I read that and it got me so angry that I just want, I hope when he's walking home from work, a bum slaps him in the face.
With
a brick. With a brick.
With Mickey's right face painted face. On it. A Mickey-eared shaped brick.
Unbelievable.
All right. So let's address this a little bit further.
Okay,
let's
get some details in here.
Well, we know it was $4 billion. We know it was for cash and stock, right? We also know that Disney is claiming, at least for now, that they don't have really intentions of meddling with what they know Marvel will do best.
Bullshit!
Now, Disney has kind of proven themselves in this aspect.
Oh?
They don't really meddle with Pixar too much.
Right.
Since they bought them, they let Pixar do what they want.
Well, now let's qualify these as we go along. They don't touch Pixar because the last time they tried to touch Pixar,
right.
Pixar told them to fuck off and walked.
Right, I understand.
And then they had to get Pixar back, sir.
And
so.
From a, they do too much childish stuff, which I agree with. That was my initial concern.
Uh-huh.
They do also, at least, they do also house some stuff that's a little bit, I mean, like ABC really isn't for kids. Lost isn't really for kids. I mean, clearly, there's some pretty serious violence on that show and intense storylines.
It's so far removed.
But really, with the exception of Marvel Max, right? Marvel has been dumbed down considerably in recent history.
Yeah, but not...
I don't know how much this is going to dumb it down more. You know, it's...
I don't know.
It's really kind of...
I don't know if it's dumbed down is the right response here.
All right.
What I think
age
is...
Age-friendly.
Okay. All right. Because any time that you get Disney associated with a product that is intended for children, regardless of what we think... I'm sure they understand what they need to do is make these products more accessible to children. That said, you have to look at stuff like The Punisher, Ghost Rider.
I agree.
You know, these sorts of characters are in no way can be made kid friendly, even though they've tried some of them in the past.
Haven't both of those characters appeared in like the... those mini superhero squads.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But I mean, that's... Yeah, but you know, there's no history.
Right.
Ghost Rider, for example. There's no history. You know, they don't tell the kids, gee, kids, you want to play with the Ghost Rider PVC, who is a demon who is taking over this guy who's supposed to kill people for vengeance. Ha, ha, ha. They don't ever give you a backstory like that, yet that's the character's backstory.
Go ahead. Now, so all I'm saying is, and I'm not saying I don't disagree with you, but all I'm saying is that it seems, at least for now, that it's a financial purchase, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm not saying that Disney potentially has a problem to kill them, because I agree.
Right.
Because that was my fear. That was my initial fear was, oh, God, this is the worst news in Marvel history ever. But I'm going to give a little bit of leeway for potential to go either way.
You are such the devil's advocate,
sir. I'm just giving it leeway. I think it could go in both directions. I think they could stay out of it or go into it.
You, of all people, should be really scared of this.
Okay.
And you know why?
Why?
You know what another license that they bought a decade ago and have done nothing with?
What?
The Muppets.
Yes.
They have owned the majority of the more popular Muppets for a decade and have done nothing with them.
Yeah, that's an interesting license, and I wonder what... There's got to be more behind that. I'm pissed. I'm pissed because the stuff that they put out for the most part has been garbage.
Exactly.
For the most part has been garbage, but not all of it. Some of it's okay.
The point of this is that, you know, again, this is not... I think we are, you know, I think we are really short-sighting this. Oh, yeah, it's great and all that, and we can speculate about what Disney is going to do with regards to the comic books. You would be foolish to believe, anybody would be foolish to believe, that Disney is not going to affect Marvel in any way. Regardless of what they're saying now, they're Disney. They're Disney. Okay. They're the mother load. If they want to do something, they are going to do it. Now, let me see if I can. I'm going to go into my crystal ball. There's the crystal ball music. And I'm gazing into my crystal ball. And what do I see? Well, let me tell you what I see in the crystal ball, OG and Just Mike. I predict that within 2 weeks. No, I'm going to say a month because I shafted myself into that 2 weeks already in the comic book store today. I'm going to say within a month we're going to hear about the Thor movie getting canceled.
All right. Now, in the conference call, in the published notes from the conference call between the stockholders and I guess upper management, the bullet point number three was that the deal with Paramount Pictures to produce and distribute Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, and the Avengers stays in place. Now, that doesn't mean they still can't cancel it, but I'm just putting it out there.
Take it again, what you just said. Read it again.
The deal to produce and distribute Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, and the Avengers stays in place with Paramount.
Right. So, first of all, Paramount has not produced these movies on their own. The bulk of it, as we know, has been Marvel Entertainment, which is why Iron Man was such a great flick, which is why the Incredible Hulk, despite its misgivings, was a good flick.
Sure.
That said, there is no more Marvel Entertainment. That's now Disney. So Disney is, and by the way, Marvel Entertainment's money is gone. All of it went into Iron Man 2. Every dime they had went into Iron Man 2. That said, one of the reasons this deal had to happen now was because Thor is set to go into production. It's already in pre-production, set to go into actual production in January, late December or early January. So that said, Disney is going to have to come to the table with, ready, at least $120 to $145 million, which is the estimated budget for the Thor movie.
Okay.
For a character that is not well known,
right,
that is far-fetched,
mm-hmm,
that is not like a household name that everyone knows about. It's,
right.
It's a stretch that I thought they were going to make the movie before Disney bought them. Now it's just going to be very, very difficult to sell this. I just think it's going to be difficult to sell this movie.
Yeah.
The movie going public.
And you know, it's even worse than that. You know, these other two movies, they're trying to establish this criteria in Marvel films that there is some sort of reality that these stories are grounded in. And you lose that with Thor.
Absolutely.
So that said, This is a gamble that anybody, the three of us sitting in this room, would not take a bet on the Thor movie being a success. I'm not one of the executives at Disney who has to pony up money on the same bet. We don't have to pony up money, but they got to pony up $100 million on a project that probably won't make that money back. You watch and see what happens.
Let's move on from this story,
okay,
but stick within the realm of Marvel movies.
All right.
Kick-Ass has a date. Speaking of adult and children movies, Lionsgate announced today that they've been giving a date to run the film.
Okay.
It's April 16th, 2010.
My birthday.
So there you go.
Kick-Ass.
And moving back into mainstream Marvel, Fantastic Four, the reboot.
All right. Now, is this really happening or is this still at the rumor stage?
Well, it was at the rumor stage for a while, and now they've brought on a writer, they have a producer, so it's still probably in the rumor stage, but it's a little bit more based in possibility than it was before.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to recast this movie and then tell us the first movie story all over again?
Yes. They'll do a revisionist history in the beginning of the movie to, you know, make up for it, and
I can't imagine a cast that would be better than the one that they have.
Okay.
I really, I can't, I cannot, I've never hoped for something to fail so much in my life as the idea of rebooting.
Really,
the
FF. You can't imagine anybody in that cast being replaced. Ooh. I thought Ian Grufford and Chris Evans were perfect.
Yeah,
Mike Chiklis is the thing.
Okay, who's replacing him?
I'm not saying there's a that I can think of someone off the top of my head. I'm just saying, and Michael Jessica Madison. Alba as Sue Storm, you could put somebody else in that role.
I don't. You know what? I really like
someone who's actually blonde and fair skinned like Sue Storm.
I really like
throwing it out.
I really like the performances. No, I mean, you know, with regards to, you know, perfection, sir, I can see where you're coming from. But certainly the cast did a good job in the first two flicks.
They did a good job in the first flick for sure.
I thought the they did flick. Fine in
the
second,
flick was okay.
It was a little, I know it was a little much.
A little much.
But, you know, they could have easily roped it back in a third film. They could have easily pulled it back in a third film.
Mole Man.
Isn't she, was she pregnant at the end of the second film?
Oh, I don't remember.
No, they just got married. She wasn't pregnant.
Okay, well, she's pregnant and having the baby in the third film. I mean, that's easy and it's good, you know?
I wonder if Marvel has all this extra money now coming from Disney. Maybe they'll bring back Spider-Man the musical.
Not. Maybe, but I doubt it.
What? You know, Disney has a bunch of Broadway theaters.
Sure.
Marvel has a musical that they were working on that they dumped a bunch of cash into.
Yeah.
Never going to happen.
No. No, that's deader than Marvel Entertainment.
All right, let's stick with
more dead.
Let's stick with Disney-related movies then, at least. Kay. We're on a roll, so we might as well just plow through this stuff first.
Let's rock and roll.
Pirates 4.
Uh-huh.
We kind of know a plot now.
All right.
It involves a Captain Nemo character as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the rumor speculating is that he's going to kind of be like a steampunky type of character, which of course I could see. I could see that working. And then the plot around it would be the search for the Fountain of Youth, which I think they allude to at the end of the third film. I think at the end of the third film, Barbossa and Sparrow have a map to the Fountain of Youth. I think that's one of the things they, in that last little bit of scene with them on that boat, I'm pretty positive they make reference to the Fountain of Youth. So it seems like a stepping off point from where they left.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess it's really happening. I mean, we've been hearing back and forth for a while. You know, Depp is in pretty close with Disney these days. You might as well. After Pirates.
Who isn't? Who isn't in close with Disney these days?
DC.
That's very true.
We can abandon the Marvel Disney related news for now. We can go into other aggravating news.
Well, if you're going to start it off that way.
Well, there's some good stuff in here, too. But there's
some aggravating
stuff.
I think you look for stuff that's just going to, like, make me angry.
Well, I like to see you angry, and now I know, you know, I know Mike gets angry too, so this is just fun for me. I could just sit here and smile while the two of you duke out at imaginary villains on the other side of the fourth wall.
Oh, they're not imaginary, sir.
They're not imaginary at all.
We were on the plane.
Real, and they run Marvel.
We were on the plane with them.
Yo, word. All right, let's talk about Rob Zombie, because, you know, why not?
Now, why is he an imaginary enemy?
He's not an imaginary enemy, but this might be aggravating news.
Okay.
Because he's done with Halloween.
Oh, yeah?
He's finished with Halloween.
No,
Halloween 2
no
was
3?
Done. No, well, there's going to be a Halloween 3, apparently.
Just not with Zombie.
But not with Zombie. Halloween 3D is the rumors that I'm hearing.
Of course.
Actually, we do have some more Marvel-related movie news, but I'll go back to that in a second.
Okay.
Let's finish with this one first.
Good idea.
His next step is The Blob, apparently.
Yeah, now I've heard that. Now, I don't think that's aggravating at all, because the remake they did in, what was it, the late 80s or early 90s had to be, of The Blob with Kevin Dillon of Entourage fame.
Right.
That movie sucked. So I can only imagine that if Rob Zombie does it, that it's probably going to be much better.
My intention is to not have a big red blob thing. That's the first thing I want to change.
Okay. Yeah, you know,
isn't that The Blob?
That was a 50s, you know, in the original.
Right, I know. Giant
piece
ants.
Of yeah.
Yeah.
Giant
yeah.
piece of jelly rolling across killing people. I mean, yeah. I mean, I understand that.
I think my concern isn't so much with, maybe it's not that you want to completely eliminate the giant red blobby thing, but maybe you want to find a way to incorporate it into a more modern horror genre. Like, okay. Like a transforming Red Blobby thingy.
Well, but give him a chance.
Okay. I'm just saying my intention is to not have a big red blob thing.
Okay.
It's a little disconcerting for a movie called The Blob. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
That's all.
That's fine. That's a legitimate fear. But okay. I have faith in Rob Zombie.
Okay.
Because I think he's done some swell. No, I wasn't the biggest fan of that. I wasn't a big fan of that sequel either. If it was a
Devil's Rejects was better, but
but I was a fan of the Halloween reboot, and I haven't seen the second one yet, but I suspect that I probably will like it.
I think that when you get somebody like him that is so into horror movies, that's his, you know, his favorite thing in the world. If you ever watch any documentary about him, he has a ton of DVDs and is all about old horror movies. And I think that, you know, if you put a classic in his hands like that, he's going to be true to it. And he's going to be true to the horror genre. So I don't think I agree with you. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that he's in control of that.
Yeah. Yeah, just Mike.
Could be much worse. Much worse than him. At least he has the look for it.
Yeah, just Mike is right. A man who respects the genre is going to be making the flick, and he's definitely proved himself. And I think at least we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. OG.
Okay, I'm just saying I'm concerned.
What else
all.
Is bothering you?
Well, we got to go back to Marvel for a second.
Of course, because why? I mean, why wouldn't we?
Iron Man 2 in 3D.
Yeah?
They're researching right now how to take everything that's filmed and done and convert it for a 3D release. Now, for anybody that's concerned about what does a 3D release mean, about, oh, I can't stand 3D movies, there's not a chance in hell that there's... that they're going to release this movie solely in 3D. They would lose too much revenue.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, maybe they'll convert some of it for 3D. It could be done, I suppose. Will it be great? Only time will tell. I think the fact that it was shot in 2D first and they'll try to figure out how to convert some of it to 3D is actually better because it prevents any of those
awkward
3D sight gags.
They don't... Yeah, but you know... I haven't really seen a lot of those in recent 3D movies. It's not like Friday the 13th Part 3 when he's sticking the spear like directly at the camera.
No, not in movies that are getting this double release. You don't see it.
Right.
But like, I didn't see it, but was it My Bloody Valentine 3D? I hear that there were some...
A lot of those kind of
things.
There
was some campiness in there. But like Coraline in 3D or Up in 3D, for example, just taking two animated features that I've seen recently. I mean, they were beautiful in both regular and 3D. So it could work. Again, I think not having the intention of doing it originally will help it.
Right.
Because you won't have the temptation for no, you know, repulsor rays coming out of the screen at your head or anything dumb.
Marvel. I just can't.
He's such a piece of shit.
Hey, let's, you know, speaking of Marvel as a piece of shit, I want to talk about a pair of posters.
Okay.
That came out this week. One is the brand new Alex Ross Moon Knight poster, which is just fabulous, as you'd expect, coming from one Alex Ross. Moon Knight is a character who is all of a sudden getting a lot of play. And deservedly so. It's a good character. Now, we all know it's kind of a ripoff of Batman a little bit, and that's fine. But, you know, he has such a rich and deep history as a character, a kind of a lunatic history, if you will, so much so that Marvel was forced this week to release one of my favorite books. It's the Moon Knight Saga.
Ooh.
Where Marvel attempts to condense and explain the history of a given character or group and so on and so forth. And now they've done it with Moon Knight. So it's free at most stores. It should be free with every purchase, with any purchase. And if you like the character and you want to see exactly how Marvel is kind of fit to shaping him, you'll want to pick up the Saga. And if you're a fan like me, you are definitely going to want to pick up the Alex Ross poster. If you want to see what that poster looks like, of course, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Check out the episode gallery for episode 161, and you'll find it there. Or if you're listening on your iPod or in iTunes or on QuickTime, you can see... As we're talking about things, some of the related imagery that may be available for these stories. So that's a nice little feature. So check that out. On the other end of the spectrum, and this is this drives me and Just Mike up the fucking wall. We talked about Marvel Man being bought by Marvel Comics, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Yes.
Something like that. So clearly they thought the deal was coming because released this week was the Marvel Man poster.
Now, we saw this image, though, didn't we, at San Diego?
We may have seen the image, but the point is that they had to just rush this poster.
Oh, yeah. It was waiting. print, before someone changes their mind.
Exactly. And of course, the art is by one Joe Quesada.
Right.
This fucking man is coming into all corners of our lives now. It's to the point where we can't avoid him. He's just he can't be stopped.
I got to ask a question. You have Alex Ross doing Moon Knight, but Joe Quesada does Marvel Man? Man slash Miracle Man may be the biggest story, licensing rights story in comic history. He's considered by many, the Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman stuff, considered by many some of the best comic books ever written that no one can get their hands on to read for themselves unless you pay lots of money. And Joe Quesada does the poster art?
It's what got Alan Moore into mainstream comics. It's what made him. It's what jumpstarted his career.
Yeah,
he did Swamp Thing, and
yeah,
it was. It's really a shame what's happened to it. And now, who do we have drawing posters of it? We have we go from Alan Moore to this.
Yeah,
and we can't even read them. We can't even get our hands on them.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't.
Who did you want to do it?
McFarlane? Talk about nepotism. I mean, seriously, you know, what's it like? We need an image of Marvel Man, and Joe's at the meeting. Well, I'm going to do it, so nobody even bother raising their hand. Meanwhile, Alex Ross, arguably the best artist, arguably the best cover artist, painter. I want to put him in his own category. He's the best Alex Ross that there is.
He's a painter.
He's available, and he's doing stuff for Marvel, clearly by the fact that we just talked about a fucking Moon Knight poster that he did. But they can't tap him to do Marvel Man?
Maybe he didn't want to do it. Maybe he wants to stay away from that quagmire because he's got class.
Okay. Wow. OG just set me straight. Write the date down, folks.
That was the end of that.
And done. Scene.
In an interview with Thomas Dekker. Do you know who Thomas Dekker is, either of you?
Mrs. Decker's son.
Yes. Good point. Just Mike?
No idea.
He played John Connor on the Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
There you go.
In an interview with him, he said that there's currently talks about doing a direct-to-DVD movie finishing off the series.
Ooh, how exciting.
That's great news for fans of the show, which I happen to be one, and there were many out there. I think it's nice to know that that option exists to do these direct-to-DVD movies now, and they are considering people who are fans of the show and giving us a conclusion.
I'd like to throw a comparison out there.
Okay.
Sarah Connor Chronicles is to the Terminator franchise.
Right.
What Joe Quesada is to the Marvel franchise. The destroyer of continuity.
Terminator franchise is so splintered.
It isn't. The film franchise is straight as an arrow. Until you throw that bullshit, we gotta go forward in time, John, in the beginning of the fucking TV show. They lost me at hello.
You can give the show a chance. It was a good show.
Sir.
I enjoyed it.
They ruined continuity right out of the fucking pilot. Of course I'm not gonna like it.
Enjoyed it. I'm just saying.
You just liked it because River was in it.
No, actually, I really enjoyed it. I liked it.
What's her name?
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau played River.
Who's, coming back for Dollhouse Season 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, why wouldn't she?
But she's only in a handful of episodes, a small story arc.
And so is, what's his name, Wash?
I haven't heard that he's in season two yet. Although, because, you know, he's in V
right.
with Marina Bakarin, who, did you see those nudie pictures online this past week?
There were some?
Yeah, she got some nice boobies.
Where did they appear?
Out there. Where did I see them? Egotastic? I think,
where did you,
website.
Why didn't you what would, send them?
I don't know, they're...
Oh, sir.
I could show them to you. I'll pull them up.
God, no, I'm just so offended. You always do this to me. You always say, great thing. You should have seen it before they yanked it. Well, why do you
still
send
up.
It?
It ain't going to get yanked. Not off that site.
Well, maybe the pictures may not get yanked.
It's terrible.
How come there's so many people who are in...
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, that one.
What about it?
They're all working for Joss Whedon.
Is this a bad thing?
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, you know, it's just like...
He likes to take care of the people.
I understand.
He nurtures that group of people. It's like Christopher Guest.
I appreciate it.
Could you imagine a Christopher Guest movie without Eugene Levy?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Because
he
helps write them. So I can't imagine.
Okay, so who doesn't help write them? Fred Willard doesn't help write them. Could you help imagine a Christopher Guest movie without Fred Willard?
Yes.
Spinal Tap. Okay.
Waiting for Guffman.
He was in Guffman?
What?
Fred Willard?
Who was in Guffman?
Was
oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was absolutely in Guffman. He's been in everyone since Guffman.
Damn it.
All right, so there.
Okay.
Anyway.
Maybe we should take a break, sir.
All right.
I think this has been a long segment.
It has been.
I need to breathe.
But I have so much more.
Well, that's why there's a segment, too.
Nice.
And with that, we'll take that break and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 161, The House That Mickey Built. The house, shit.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Aaron Douglas, Chief Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I heard Sci-Fi's thinking about doing a Quantum Leap reimagining. Any truth if this is, or any knowledge if this is true or not?
I haven't heard.
That's not very nice.
What?
Don't make fun of the callers.
Yeah, just Mike.
Hey, ho.
Just Mike, making fun of the callers.
That was.
He's fitting right in here.
That's terrible. You guys are awful.
Yeah, both
you're taking
of you.
Your rage and hate out on the callers. These people are
voice.
Fans of the show.
Well,
they contribute.
Just Mike's
awful.
Insult aside,
oh.
let's discuss what the caller asked. The caller asked if they were going to do a reimagining
right.
of Quantum Leap. And yeah, there is some rumor to that effect, isn't there, OG?
There is some rumor to that effect. They're currently in talks with Dom Bellisario. Who he produces a bunch of TV shows. The one that I watch most frequently is NCIS, because I love that show. But it's
got
not
that,
confirmed.
They got that hot techie girl on that show, don't they?
Yeah, I can't think of her name though.
Yeah.
You know, in that show, all over her lab is nothing but Bleeding Edge Goth products.
Really?
The figures, the plush products. Remember the Kinder Goths?
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like all over her lab. It's really
That's
funny.
Cool.
Anyway, there is talk about possibly relaunching Quantum Leap, but they're also saying that maybe it won't be Quantum Leap. Maybe it'll be something like Quantum Leap. So there's no confirmed answer as to what they're actually doing.
Uh-huh.
What they're definitely doing, though, while we're talking about it, is they are rebooting Alien Nation. And Tim Minear, who, you know, works with Joss Whedon all the time, is the one that's behind that.
And the Alien Nation reboot, will it be like another extension of the movie like the last show was? Is there any indication as to, or are they going to retell the story? Because, you know, one of the criticisms right now, well, not criticisms, one of the things that people are saying regarding Alien Nation is that District 9 owes a lot to Alien Nation. So maybe that has some. That might have something to do with this bringing
it back.
I think
that sci-fi is looking to fill the shoes and the giant void that Battlestar Galactica left behind. So my guess would be
by
it's going to be
picking old sci-fi shows
and rebooting
them.
It's going to be a reboot, would be my guess. Both of these would probably be reboots, would be my guess.
It'll probably be more like District 9. Why don't they just make District 9 the TV show?
I'd watch it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'd probably watch it too from what I've heard.
So thank you, unnamed caller.
Can we just say again how gay sci-fi's new spelling is?
It really is.
It is gay.
It really is horrendously gay.
There we go.
All right.
It's a consensus. Sci-fi, gay.
Well, not sci-fi in general. Just S-Y-F-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
S-Y-F-Y.
All right, let's just punch through these last handful of news notes.
Was that a suggestion by G4?
Oh, probably. Anyway, sticking with sci-fi, they just announced this past week that they're renewing Eureka for another season. They're giving it a full 22-episode season. That's pretty big news for them. To get renewed halfway through, before the season's over, and to give them full 22 episodes, that's good news.
Wonderful.
Batman Beyond is coming back to the DC Universe.
Yay.
And for all the rubes online that thought it was going to be an animated series, it is not an animated series. It is going to be a comic book.
Who the hell thought this? I read this today, too, that somebody said, oh, they're bringing back Batman Beyond. It's going to be a miniseries. No, it's not.
All
it's not going to be on TV.
This is what happened, or at least how I saw it happen. Comic Book Resources found an interview that Newsarama had done with
Dan the Dipshit.
Right. And in that interview,
Dan DiDio, the Joe Quesada of DC Comics, almost.
There will be a Terry McGinnis miniseries early next year. We've heard the fans. We've heard everyone's interest. And right now we're planning to put out a Batman Beyond miniseries in 2010. That was the quote.
Let's pull a few things from this quote.
Sure.
One, Dan DiDio has nothing whatsoever to do with animated products from DC or Warner Brothers.
He doesn't have anything to do with even
nothing,
the new animated stuff?
Nope. Nothing to do with it. I mean, if he does have something to do with it, I'm sure at best it would be in an associate producer way, probably not even that much. A consultant way, something like that. I don't know. I'd have to look at that Green Lantern box to see if he was actually involved. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say if he is involved, it's kind of probably more courtesy than anything else.
Right.
Number one. Number two, they do not do animated miniseries since Invasion America, like whatever 100 years ago that was. They don't do them. You know why? Because they don't work.
Right. They don't have a place to air them. They don't really work well. You can't build an audience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think what happened here, honestly, is that people want so badly for a TV show to come back that there was an assumption made, and it spread like wildfire across the internet.
Like stupid fire.
And I'm doing research preparing for the Tonight Show, and I start questioning people's sources, and I'm like, well, he doesn't actually say minis. Do you have a source that says it's going to be animated?
Yeah.
No, that's what it is. And then I get these responses back from people, you know, on Twitter and whatnot, and they're like, no, actually, we did a little bit of digging too, and it's going to be a comic.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it really was just hopes and prayers, and it's going to be a comic series. Either way, the return of Batman Beyond, the return of Tim McGinnis was the character, right?
Yes.
Is that's a good thing. I mean, if you're a fan of that character. It was a good television show. I never read any of the comic spinoffs, but I liked the TV show.
Yeah, the TV show was really good. I didn't get into the comics either. The movie was fantastic.
The movie was great.
No matter what version you saw of it, it was fantastic.
That was the beginning. That was the beginning of the DC. We're going to put some motherfucking violence into our animated shows because that thing was crazy.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Now, right? That was like the starting point.
That was really the start because now all their animated movies are PG-13.
Yeah, but you know, they yanked that film. Yes. They yanked that film from the original and then released it in theaters, edited, and then released the edited version on DVD and then the uncut version on DVD. You know, I don't think I have an edited version of that film yet. I think I just have the uncut.
The uncut version? Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I got to go.
I don't really want the edited version.
I do. It's
just cause?
Yeah. It's a good flick. I liked it. It's a good story, man. But exactly, you know, that's exactly it. I think that's kind of where it all started. Yeah.
Let's move on to other stuff.
Okay.
On tonight's show. Let's move on to DVDs that came out this week.
Yes. Do you have any?
I always have something, but normally this is your charge. Well, would you like me to lead the charge?
I'm kind of embarrassed about the only two that I got this week. Not embarrassed per se, but it's just kind of meh. First is State of Play. This was the Russell Crowe, Ben Affleck, Rachel McAdams, and a host of others political drama that came out last year. It did fairly well. It's a good thriller, a lot of political intrigue and so forth. A good flick, State of Play. You can check it out if you like. One a little bit closer to home is the Rankin-Bass classic Mad Monster Party. This is from the folks that brought us Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, all those things. So it's Puppetoon. It's kind of a Puppetoon special for Halloween that I have never seen, which I don't understand how it's a classic. I've never seen this. I don't know. Maybe I just decided not to watch TV in October. Maybe they run it on Halloween where I spent my nights out begging for candy.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, that might be. But that said, it's the same sort of puppet tunes that you're used to. And it features the voice talents, it says here on the box, of Boris Karloff. So how can you go wrong with that?
Exactly.
There you go. And all your favorites are included. Dracula, the werewolf, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Mummy, Invisible Man, and so forth. And I think that's just kind of what it is, sir. I think it's just kind of the Halloween puppet tune special. I've just never seen the thing. I heard it's very funny, though.
Also out this week that you guys may have some interest in, Supernatural, the complete fourth series, both regular and Blu-ray. I keep hearing great things about the show. Never seen an episode.
Yeah, not a single one.
Heroes Season 3, both regular and Blu-ray.
That's been streaming on Netflix for months now.
What, Heroes?
Yeah, Season 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, HD.
Is it on? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Beh.
On Blu-ray this week only, Gladiator and Braveheart Blu-ray releases. Don't fall into your criteria.
No, they don't. Gladiator? Gladiator would.
Time frame wise? What year? I thought 2005. Wasn't 2005 your cutoff? What year was Gladiator?
I thought it was Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
Oh, okay. So Gladiator might fall.
Gladiator would fall. Braveheart probably not. But Braveheart, not really an effects-driven movie, sir.
Right.
Gladiator, effects-driven, sorta. So Gladiator would be in the gray area. I could go either way. Braveheart happens to be one of my favorite flicks, so I could bend the rules to get Braveheart,
right.
But I'm not seeing that just now.
Shaun of the Sheep, Little Sheep of Horrors. Now, I bring this up because if you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run and that stuff, this is by the same creative team that brought you that.
Okay. And it's Shaun of the Sheep?
Shaun of the Sheep. It's named after the character in Wallace and Gromit, Shaun, the sheep.
Okay.
Do you ever watch Wallace and Gromit?
I have, yes. You know, I just thought it might be a takeoff on Shaun of the Day.
It is probably a play off of that.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the new series, the complete season 8 is out this week.
Ooh, da lolly.
Ben 10 Alien Force, the second Ben 10 after a guy kind of meh.
I hear it's coming to an end.
Are they finally wrapping that up?
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
I kind of liked season 1 of that show. Like the original one? I kind of liked it.
Oh, that's too bad, sir, because I hear it's going to end. I hope they put out a complete Avatar, The Last Airbender, because I might actually get that. That's a good show. I mean, I understand that it's Nickelodeon kid stuff, but it was really good. And the toys were really good, too. And now there's the live-action flick coming from, what's his name? M. Night Shyamalan presents. Blech.
Talk about it going down in your career from the start. Just starting high and just crashing miserably from top to bottom.
He is absolutely hot and cold with me, Just Mike. I didn't like, what was that first one? The groundbreaking Sixth Sense.
Right. Oh, I like
Sixth Sense. But I liked, what was the
second
one?
I liked Unbreakable.
I didn't like Lady in the Water.
Signs was okay.
But I did like The Village. And I didn't like Lady in the Water, I think was one after that. I didn't like that one. But what was the last one?
The Happening.
Oh, God, no, I didn't like that one at all. So, oh, I'm wrong. So apparently I only like two of his slicks.
And for those of you who may be fans but are not collecting the complete series, Transformers More Than Meets the Eye and G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, The Mass Device also came out this week. These are discs collecting specific story arcs from the series.
I'm telling you, I think, who put those out? The complete box sets.
Shout Factory.
Shout Factory has made a humongous mistake by not releasing those complete box sets to the public. Humongous mistake. They sold them at Comic-Con. Transformers and G.I. Joe, the only complete release that's ever going to happen, according to them. Only at Comic-Con. And what were they, 100 and change a piece? OG,
150.
Three of them, what was it?
150
for the entire Transformers box. And I think G.I. Joe was the same. And they're never going to release. I think that's a huge mistake.
There's a ton of animated Batman re-releases this week.
Like what?
Like all these discs that have been out before, I guess they got reissued and resolicited. One of which is the Batman Beyond movie. But Batman, the animated series Tales of the Dark Knight, Batman Joker Fire and Ice. These are all discs that have been previously released, you know, story arcs and snippets and stuff like that. But I don't know why there's so many this week. That's kind of odd.
Nice. Let's,
all right, comics.
Get off the DVD.
Let's go.
God, I hate digital bits. Comics for you to check out this week include, as we've already mentioned earlier this evening, the Moon Knight Saga, free with any purchase, Marvel's sort of revisionist history of the character. If you will, this goes along with the other saga books, Daredevil
Saga.
That
one I might actually want to really pick up.
I don't know if you're reading this book or not, but the current incarnation is really good.
I keep hearing it's amazing, and Moon Knight's one of those characters I kind of
bad part is that even right from the first issue, Just Mike, are you reading Moon Knight?
I am not reading currently.
Here's the problem I have with it. You really need this saga book if you don't have access to the original books. That said, I think the only way to currently get access to them is to either nickel box them or quarter box them if you can find them, or eBay or whatever. Or you can get one of those awful phone books. What are they? The Essentials?
Essential Marvels?
Yeah. I fucking hate that garbage, by the way.
You know, there is another method, but...
I don't think that method. I don't think that method occurs with this.
It might.
It might.
You'd be surprised what that treasure trove holds.
Oh yeah, right out of the Fantastic Playbook. I see.
And it is
Army of Darkness number 24 continues the series from Dynamite. That is ongoing. You know, you like Ash the character. You like Ash the comic.
Okay,
that's it. Period. Marvel's 70th anniversary thing continues with reprints. This one is Daring Mystery Comics, issue number one. This is one of the timely imprints. We've talked about these. I thought these were going to end.
Clearly not so much.
I guess not. And I think this one features the Phantom Reporter, if I'm not mistaken, who is a great old character there, a little modernized and upgraded. I think it looks great. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who did the cover art on this because that's a really, really great image. Clint Langley or Marcus Martin. I think this is the regular cover. So I'm going to say Clint Langley did this cover. It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
And so that's from Marvel, part of their 70th anniversary. I thought another one of those Marvel books was coming out this week, but either I missed it or the schedule was wrong.
Clearly you're wrong.
But they're good. I mean, the little reprints, it's got a new story in the front, reprint story in the back. It's great stuff. Batman 690, part of the Batman Reborn story. Judd Winnick, Mark Bagley, continues the new direction of this book, if it's new.
I guess.
I believe it had the last one. I think the Killer Croc was the next villain. I could be wrong, but it's more the Batman title is dealing more with Dick Grayson alone as Batman,
right,
than the Batman and Robin title, which is dealing with him and Damian together. So it's a different kind of satisfaction if you like the whole Batman Reborn thing, which I do.
Right, me too.
It's a great new spin on Batman and a great way to I think Bruce Wayne was becoming more of an epic mythology figure.
Right.
Untouchable, whereas now Dick Grayson is the everyday Batman again. You can relate to Batman again, and that's why I like the current Batman series. I think they're doing a great job with it. And Tony Daniels is starting a 6-issue arc by himself, which he's drawing and writing, which there's benefits and negatives to.
There's a lot of villains in this one. I mean, it looks like they're throwing all these villains at him to try to beef him into the role, so to speak. And I really like what they're doing. And this one has a very surprise ending. I want to say 690.
I think that they've been doing excellent jobs.
Yes. Speaking of excellent jobs, Strange Adventures number 7 has come out, and this is we've been following this Jim Starlin, Scott McDaniel, and others working on this book. It's the great space opera saga, if you will, from DC, and regrettably comes to an end next month. It's only 8 issues, which I don't understand. This easily could go on. I mean, the story is rife with possibilities of continuing. You reading this one, Just Mike?
No, that's another one I'm not reading.
Holy God, man. Do you read anything? I see you buy your comics. There's at least 30 of them in your hand. God,
he reads more than me.
From Marvel Limited Series, and somehow Dynamite Entertainment has made it onto the cover of this book.
Is it a tinfoil nuclear resistant?
No.
Diamond cut chromium gold plated cover?
No. But it is the first of 8 of The Torch, which is, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that this is the original Human Torch. So,
right. It is the first one.
Yes. And this will be kind of Marvel's reimagining of the beginnings of the Marvel Universe, having to do with the Marvels project. Is that correct,
that is
Mike?
Correct. And I am going to read.
Yes, and features an Alex Ross cover. But more than the Alex Ross cover, he also co-wrote the story with Mike Carey, which Alex tends to do that a lot. Does that with Jim Kruger all the time, and I guess he's doing this one with Mike Carey because Mike and he worked out the story. Looks like Mike Carey did the script. Patrick Birkencotter is the artist on the inside. It's nice. The art's okay. It's nice. It's got that sort of Alex Ross feel. So I think he had a lot to do with the layouts of this. At least that's what I'm thinking. And yeah, it looks great. 1 of 8, The Torch. Now, Just Mike, there's other ones of those coming out as well?
I believe so, but the cover to that is awesome.
Absolutely.
Absolutely great Alex Ross cover. But I do believe that there's more coming out to it, yes.
I know why you hated this cover. I mean, you can go ahead and talk about it.
It's such a cool cover, and Alex Ross does such a good job with the Torch, but you just look in the upper left-hand corner, and it just ruins it. When you go and look at it on the shelf, it looks like shit, because it's just Marvel once again whoring themselves on their covers. If you look at some of the old Captain America covers, there's a gigantic picture of Edward Norton as the Hulk, and I don't need that while I'm buying a comic book.
Exactly. So in their imprint in the upper left-hand corner of The Torch, what Just Mike is about to have a stroke over, is they've placed a tiny ad in the logo for the Superhero Squad show.
Woohoo!
Which is on Cartoon Network. Looks like it's starting 9/19/09. And it features a very animated kitty looking Iron Man as
excellent. I'm
hero.
Happy. I'm bouncing with joy. And
thought that was ecstasy. Very funny. And rounding out the week in comics this week, of course, it's Wednesday Comics.
The
broadsheet newsprint. Printy sort of one-sheet stories coming from DC Comics. This is number 9, leaving us only 3 weeks left in the experiment. And then the mystery will begin about how and if and when are they going to try and trade this thing, which I would be interested. Features all the characters you enjoy: Batman, Superman, Teen Titans, Metal Man, Hawkman, the Demon Flash, Green Lantern, and Deadman, and others. I don't want to exclude Deadman because he's one of my favorites. So there it is. Those are some comical books. Some other books to check out this week happen also to be comics.
Okay.
The OG special of the week, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Nice. I can actually read it now.
Yes, the L. Frank Baum classic that was given to us by both Marvel Comics, Eric Schanauer, and the incredible art of Scotty Young in a hardcover edition. It is oversized, and that means just makes the art look better. That's what I think.
And it is collected, which really is a key thing for me.
Yes, we know. Thank you, Trade Boy. This one's going to run you about $30, but it's great. It's worth every penny.
Maybe away for the soft cover.
Are you? Why? Because it's a little too much money?
$30.
Are you Italian or...
No, I'm Italian.
Nothing. I just thought I saw a little hat on your head. But it's $30. You're going to appreciate it. You want the hardcover version because you are an adult who likes to have books that are nice on a shelf.
Look, as long as it has pictures inside, it's good enough for me.
And pictures inside you will find in the Absolute V for Vendetta from DC Vertigo Comics.
Yeah, that's one I might actually have to own.
Yes. This collects DC Comics' original 10-issue series in its entirety, including all of the never-before-printed bridging pages. Newly colored by David Lloyd for this edition.
That's swell.
Which ran between the issue's story pages. This deluxe slipcase volume also includes Lloyd and Moore's introductions to the series, as well as Moore's extended history of its creation, Behind the Painted Smile, and a newly expanded sketchbook section by our friend of the show, David Lloyd.
Nice.
So, yeah. Gonna run you $100. Gonna run you $100.
You know what this makes me want to say? I want to quote my favorite editor-in-chief over at Marvel Comics when I say, it feels like Christmas morning.
Does it? Is Joe's pink slip in this box? This is a slip case.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Like I said, gonna run you $100, worth every penny. Look at the slip case design. It's fabulous.
It really is. I mean, gorgeous. Wow.
Oversized. It's everything you could possibly want from this great story, made even better by all the additional things that have never been printed before. I'm so excited to crack this
thing. Big Apple Con, here I come.
With your discount dollars in hand.
That's it. Trades galore.
And that is going to wrap books for this week, unless Just Mike has any books that he'd like to... any books, Just Mike?
Well, you really covered it.
Okay.
I really thought it was...
No, I'm just saying, a couple books I mentioned that apparently aren't good enough for you.
No,
I'm just saying.
No.
I
mentioned Dick Grayson.
I don't want to hurt any feelings.
I'm the only person in the world that loves Dick Grayson is Batman. That's okay.
That's not
you
true.
Never I'm ever want to say that you love Dick on Mike.
That is
I'm just
true.
Saying.
I said I love Dick.
That's, he's learning. I just never say I love Dick.
That was not a good move for me.
Isolate that.
All three of them.
And we're going to round out this evening by talking about a DC Direct Batman product, because we don't talk enough about DC Direct or Batman products or... stuff. So this is the series is Batman Black and White Statue Series. There's got to be 20 of these things at this point, isn't there? Or more?
At least,
right? This is its latest, latest release. It's Batman as interpreted by David Mazzucchelli. From year
beautiful.
One. It is the pose that everyone is familiar with from year one, sculpted by Jim McPherson. I think Jim has done a swell job.
He has.
In translating
it's true.
The image. If you've never seen it, you can look right on the box because it's right there.
Fancy.
Yes. And the statue, it's about six, 7 inches tall. Yeah. Limited edition of 5,000. Absolutely wonderful. Oh, it says 7 3/4 inches tall. Wow. That's a little taller than I thought they were, but okay, fine.
All right.
let's talk about why this is great. This is back on track as far as I'm concerned.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Brick by brick, if you will. This is the way the Batman Black and White series was designed to be. Different artists' interpretation of Batman over the years, sculpted by guys who can capture the artistic nuance of these individual artists in 3D in a black and white format. And that's what I'm so happy to see that this has happened.
I know that you are.
We have all these, of course, in Studio A. And they're on display, and they're so great together. Aren't they great together?
They are wonderful together. They make a nice collection, a nice display. And if only I could have all of them, then I would also be happy.
Well, you can have all of them except the Mignola one, from my understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one is bloody impossible to get. Yeah. If you can get it for under two, last I heard, $250,
huh?
Which is crazy. They're going to run you, I think the retail on these now is about $80.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Thereabouts, which isn't bad. What's that, $10 an inch? That's not bad. It's pretty good.
Wow. This show's going downhill
fast.
We're talking
about dicks and inches.
You better wrap this up.
I knew it. Just as I said it, I'm like, oh, no. I stepped right into Just Mike's territory.
I was the wake of the dick. Just led you right in.
So there it is from DC Direct. You can go over to dccomics.com/DC Direct and see this and other fine products that come from DC Direct. It seems every bloody week DC Direct has something going on, so good for them.
And hey guys, you know, maybe you guys would be interested. Not for me, but Guys Gone Wild Freshman Orientation Edition came out this week also.
Oh, yeah?
So that's for you guys, maybe.
That's great, OG. Thanks. You know what? I don't think I'm going to buy that one. I think I'm just going to copy yours.
Good. So, all right, yeah.
There we go. And with that, let's take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 161, The House That Mickey Built.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Johnny Blaze, no one has ever attempted such a distance before. 300 feet from field goal to field goal. What's going through your mind right now?
You look really good.
Hey, this is Ava Mendez from Ghost Rider, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Step.
Let's ride.
Kev likes to change the title of the show going into break.
It's 161, The House That Mickey Bought. I just slipped a little.
All right.
God's
I'm Dick.
Sake.
What did we talk about on tonight's episode?
I don't remember.
Everything. Marvel was throughout the entire episode. We choked on Marvel on tonight's episode.
Like we do each and every week in some capacity.
Of course, the biggest thing was the Disney-Marvel $4 billion we-hope-it-doesn't-fuck-Marvel deal to start things off.
You are a fucking dreamer. Marvel is fucked.
Marvel rebooting the Fantastic Four, Iron Man 2 in 3D, Kick-Ass has a release date in August or April of 2010. What am I leaving out? There's got to be something else. No?
Anything about Marvel?
Related?
I don't know.
Did I wrap it up nicely like
we
that?
We predict that the Thor movie is going to get crashed.
Eureka, coming back for another season. Summer Glau, coming back for Dollhouse. And Thomas Decker thinks there's going to be a Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles direct-to-DVD movie. Rob Zombie bringing back the Blob without the Blob. Bruce Wayne is bringing back Tim McGinnis through DC in a Batman Beyond, not animated miniseries.
Wow. Whew. That was a lot to get out.
It was a lot to get out. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 fighting Steampunk Nemo.
That's
not
weird.
The fish, the captain.
He's not Nemo, actually, though, right? He's just a Nemo-like character.
Well, they're hinting at Captain Nemo. It's possible. I mean, they own, they have Nemo in their character library. So
I got a problem with that. The timing just doesn't work at all.
Right. Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
People will start saying shit. I'm just saying it.
Okay.
Now. We talked about some DVDs that were released this week, and we mentioned Mad Monster Party, the Rankin Bass quote classic unquote, and also State of Play, political thriller with Russell Crowe, Ben Affleck, Rachel Adams, Rachel McAdams, and more.
Supernatural, the complete fourth season, Heroes season 3. Shaun the Sheep, Little Sheep of Horror, is out this week also. A handful of Blu-ray releases like Gladiator and Braveheart. Lots to check out. Go and buy your discs.
Comics
to Senator Triple B, though.
Comics to check out this week include the Moon Knight Saga, Army of Darkness, number 24, Daring Mystery Comics, number 1, Batman 690, Strange Adventures, number 7, and The Torch, number 1, as well as Wednesday Comics, number 9. Don't forget to also check out the Wonderful World of Oz hardcover from Marvel, collecting the fabulous limited series, and V for Vendetta, the Absolute Edition from DC Comics. We've been waiting a long time for that one, and it's finally here, and I couldn't be more excited.
Also from DC Direct this week, we have the next Batman black and white statue. This is 20 in the line, featuring the art, or based on the art of Mazzucchelli.
Yes.
Sculpted by guy's name who I can't remember.
Jim McPherson.
That guy.
And finally, we talked about a pair of posters. I forgot we talked about these earlier.
One by a poser?
One, it's actually two ends of the spectrum. Nice. It's Moon Knight, a lesser Marvel character, even though one of the better ones right now, I think, done by amazing, incredible artist Alex Ross in poster form.
Lesser Marvel character by a great, amazing artist.
Right. On the flip side of that, we have Marvel Man, the recent acquisition of Marvel Comics, done by their editor in crap, Joe Quesada.
Right.
So there you go. I don't get it.
Doesn't stop.
It just doesn't end. His pompitude just doesn't end.
I want to love Marvel so bad, and I just can't.
I love the characters.
I love the characters.
And everybody says, yay, Joe! I hate the way Joe runs the company. Right. Joe as a person isn't even on my radar. Oh. So, you know, I'm talking about Joe the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada may be a very nice guy, socially.
I was going to say socially, perhaps.
But his decisions that he's making here are just abominable. And I think... maybe the mouse will have something to do with that. At least I hope they will. But
you know,
I definitely.
He could be a nice guy. I don't care. Fuck him. Honestly.
There it is.
He could be a sweetheart.
Take it to Just Mike.
The nicest little man in the world. Tell him to go fuck himself.
What are we talking about next week, OG, that we can leave the tease for here?
Cataclysm.
Oh, yeah.
For everybody that's been asking, how come we haven't addressed Cataclysm? We are planning on addressing it next week.
Yeah, we wanted to get more information before we kind of just let it all flow. It's World of Warcraft's upcoming expansion. It's the next one you actually have to buy.
Right.
Did
they definitely say you had to buy that
one? Oh, yeah. I think so. And I think we're over a year away from it, too, I think.
Probably.
I think it's November of 10.
Yes.
Where we are coming up to November of 9.
Yes.
So there it is. We'll talk more about that next week on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162, TBA.
Right.
And with that, we will end this episode. Just Mike, do you have some final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 161, The House That Mickey Bought?
Fuck Brett Ratner. I tried it last week. I tried to get it into, or 2 weeks ago, I'm trying to get it into one word. I can't do it. I'm trying so hard to get it to one word.
It doesn't have to be one word. It could be a sentence or a thought. It's fine. It doesn't have to be a couple
just
words.
The whole concept of fuck Brett Ratner needs to be in one whole thought of fuck him.
Yeah, after all your traipses today with you loving dicks and things, and you're going to end with fuck a dude.
I did not do too well on the dick front on this episode.
And there it is.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Now, Mouseketeers, here's one thing we want you always to remember.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R-E.